found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, you guys are great at this, so we got one line. So get in, 713-780-3776, and as soon as somebody gets off, you can get in and tell us what you learned this weekend in one sentence. And it might be something ugly about your wife. I don't know. It might be something about a family member. Whatever the case may be, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It doesn't have to be sports related.
Okay, somebody asked that we say they want to hear it on our app stream, since we're apparently chopped and screwed. Is she a great big fat person?
Okay. She is great.
Yeah, they want to see if it sounds like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Is she a great big fat person?
Is she a great big fat person? Like me.
Don't. You always do that dance when you do that. When you do Buffalo
Bill. It's Q Lazarus.
You've been doing
I'll never forget.
When did that movie
Wild
come
Horses,
out?
Q Lazarus. It came out in like 91.
Oh, God. You've been doing that.
91.
You've been doing that since 97.
Because that's his dance. I don't do the tuck. I just do a little upper body.
You always put your hands down.
I don't go to the tuck. All right, so we got.
I know Ocho's going to make a comment about
he's going to have something on. What's that?
I got bad news for you.
What is
it? As soon as you, I was trying to listen to it to hear the chopped and screwed. Is she a great or a fat person? It was fixed. Right at the beginning of the segment.
Okay.
Is she a great big fat person?
There.
So, yeah.
There you go.
That's the girl whose skin was turned into a coat or whatever.
All right. Here we go. We got a full board. 713-780-3776. As soon as somebody gets off, what did you learn this weekend? You get one sentence. Biscuit, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, man. What I learned is I'm sure glad Kevin Sanders was out here coaching instead of Penny Hardaway. My goodness.
All right. Everybody's glad of that here in the city of Houston. Penny, well, I'm not even going to.
Penny was hanging in there pretty
good. He was
good.
Hanging in there.
That was a good, he did a good job. And it's obviously a very talented team. But the Zaggy Zags, it's hard to believe in the Zags. After they got mauled last year by Baylor, and then you see them just barely squeak by a Memphis team that was so up and down.
Well, they were down in the first game, too.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Lenny. Oh, no. Jay is next. Jay, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Lazy J, man.
Hey, Lazy J.
What I learned this weekend is Calvin Sampson should be the next head coach of the Houston Rockets.
Calvin Sampson should be the next head coach of the Houston Rockets. I don't know that Kelvin would want that. I don't think they would play as hard. I think Kelvin would pull out his hair. He wouldn't do the dance with the shirt off, that's for sure. That was awesome. Did you see Kelvin celebrating?
When he ripped it off.
Yeah.
And then they're throwing water on him. And then they were done. And he goes,
Hey, more.
And they're like, we only had one bottle.
That's all
coach.
We have, coach.
Hey, this is not a football team where we have 50, where we have 70 guys in the locker room.
It's not Kansas or Kentucky where they have a lot of water.
Okay. No, there's only a certain amount of guys with bottles. They're like, coach, maybe you didn't hear. We have a bunch of injuries.
Well, they got him with an ice bucket.
Yeah, they finally had to hit him with the bucket because he kept saying, more.
Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that 7 of the 8 Arizona Wildcats regular rotation players are freshmen and sophomores.
Mm.
Yeah, that is a super talented young team.
Well,
but they barely escaped, too.
Guess what, though?
You don't
that's
want
good for the Cougs. We got experience. They don't.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep. 713-780-3776.
You don't
what'd
like
you
when
learn
that, when that python-like defense starts trying to constrict?
No, not those youngsters. They're going to be freaking out on Thursday night. Lenny, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that a lot of fellow Browns fans hold their quarterback to a higher moral standard than the dude they voted for president.
I don't know that they do hold them to a higher standard.
Some are pissed that Deshaun's there.
Yeah, some. We'll see. You never know, but we'll see how long they stay pissed.
They won't pay pissed.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are going back and scrubbing tweets they had.
Delete.
it, like literally after he eliminated them.
Right.
Delete.
Well,
I'm glad we didn't want to have this rapist on my. Well, he said, what, 230 million is a Brown? Delete.
Tom, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned when a woman starts hemming and hawing the day of your date, she's hoping you'll cancel so she doesn't have to.
Oh, wow. That's an unfortunate, that's an uncomfortable situation.
Mm.
Yeah. When she starts, I got a story about that I'll have to tell.
Okay.
Larza? Is this Larza Pippen? Larza.
It's no way.
No, La Raza, baby.
Oh, La Raza. ¿Qué pasó, mijo?
¿Qué pasó, Johnny G? ¿Qué pasó, Lance?
¿Qué pasó?
Well, look, yo aprendí this weekend is that if your name is can't guard, won't guard, can't jump, won't jump, your credentials don't mean nothing, baby.
What did he say?
Can't guard, no jump. Can't guard, I didn't get it.
He always hits
can't guard Mike.
The guy that was on with us from Atlanta.
Oh, deleted Sports his Talk Twitter. Jake.
Sports Talk Jake at Can't Guard Jake. Yes.
Can't guard. He was saying can't guard.
Can't guard Jake. Oh, yeah, he was off. He got off Twitter.
No, he might have had it.
He got off Twitter.
He might have had it in the 230 million change
everything.
But he said he would get off Twitter.
But
he's back on Twitter.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's back on Twitter.
Well,
he's back on Twitter, but all of his followers are gone. Like, because he deactivated his account immediately.
Yeah.
And then he got back on, like, 3 hours later.
And how many?
Did he lose the blue check?
4 hours later. Did he have it?
Yeah.
No, you can get it back.
Okay.
Oh.
Unless you change your name.
I don't know if you change your name, people didn't believe me because I don't have one.
No, you've said all kinds of unbelievable stuff. Actually, that didn't come up this weekend.
That actually did not come up.
Blue check stuff?
No, blue check
did not. Because it was all Astros related.
Well, and Larry Brown Sports even said sports... You know, guy from sports radio from ESPN 97.5, blah blah blah, in his story. So I guess people believe that it doesn't matter about a blue check. I don't know, Peter. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that Nick Cazario is really not that much better at trades than Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, so let's get into this.
We'll get into it on the other side. There are people who believe
this is a terrible trade, and you got nothing back. It's only the second time in the history of football that one player has garnered 3 first-round picks. It's never happened before other than Herschel Walker.
So we will talk about that in the next segment. Michael, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned when it's spring break and your wife is off for spring break and you work, you should probably not play poker on Friday night. That's what I learned.
Wow. Yeah, if she's home, you ought to. Yeah, I could see where that could be a problem.
This is a perfect example of how what did I learn this week?
Yeah,
works because you learned something.
He did learn that.
He learned something
because she's pissed at him all weekend.
I learned that if you tell the kids at the end of spring break there's going to be a big event, but you don't know what it is for sure, but you think it might be bowling, that if you don't do it on Sunday when there's a tournament game, including the Cougars, including lots of teams, and they have to drive them to CCE and all that stuff. That, like, I ran out of time. They will use it against.
But there was a big event. You went to a crawfish. You had a big event. It was a crawfish boil.
Well, they didn't.
Oh, I know, but you didn't specify it was their big one. Oh, you did.
I said, if you guys act good, everyone who act good, there's going to be a big event at the end.
But they didn't.
What is it? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what it is. Nothing. And Mason's texting. Dad, it was about you didn't do it at all.
You didn't do anything, Dad.
Yes, I did, Mason. Are they back in school now? The big event was Frisbee Golf.
They're back in school now?
Yeah, he's headed there right now. Frisbee Golf, my first foray back into the Frizz.
Oh, it was a big event.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, you and Nicole got to go out and have a nice evening Saturday night.
Yeah, it's not them, but that's true.
That's true. I mean, that was a nice play. Brandon, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that Michigan might actually be a basketball school. 5 straight Sweet 16s, go blue, better than Ohio State for sure.
Yeah. No, Michigan looked good, bro. How about Michigan
coming back in the first game showed at both games. Both games.
Yeah, that first game they were down.
First game they came back at the second half, they just wasted them. How about in the second half? I thought they were done. I'm at your house. The crawfish. Well, they're down five. With 6 minutes to go on, I'm like, okay, they're just going to boat race Michigan out of the tournament. And what happens? All of a sudden, I come back inside, and Michigan is up 3. And Michigan ends up winning by 5 or 6 and then made the other team cry. And Juwan Howard, did you see that? He had to console one of the opposing Tennessee's players who was crying. I thought Tennessee had them dead to rights. And all of a sudden, I go back inside. Blues moving on.
Yep. I learned this weekend that no matter what you put out there, that people just, for whatever reason, they just want to hit you with shots. They don't care.
You mean like my brother?
Or not your brother even.
Like my brother coming after you? My brother's a known Twitter contrarian. I don't know if you know that or not, but if you've got something you want to say on Twitter, he is waiting to go the other way.
And then he said, oh, I apologize. Well,
but he was also, it was a little bit passive aggressive because I apologize. I'm sure you feel the same way I do when people who aren't in coaching make comments about coaches. So that was also his way of letting you know.
People in the media. I don't think he meant me or.
Well, you can take it as you.
Well, yeah.
He said, it's really all of us.
Really? Right, right.
Yeah, it's his way of saying, you know, just like when y'all try to talk about coaching, but you don't coach.
Yeah, right.
Read it like that, because that's how it's intended.
That's how it's intended.
Trust
right.
me. Mike has got that contrarian
No, vibe. But he wasn't the only. B-Man.
I'll just be sitting there. I'll be Twitter, and I'm like, oh, well, he's in a fight with Adam Clanton about something now. Now he's in a fight with, you know, Larry and Stafford about something. Like, why is my brother's in more skirmishes on Twitter just jumping in than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, one guy said, B-Man, he came after me. Granato's just here to start ship. That's all. That's all he does.
Okay? I know.
So just so you all.
Man, mission accomplished.
Okay. And I got one guy. Just got them clicks, huh? Getting them clicks,
yeah,
huh?
I get that for every mock draft. Every mock draft is just because I'm trying to get clicks.
Right.
I'm trying to get attention.
Like I give a rat's ass.
I'm trying to get attention.
Like I need. I don't care.
I'd rather not do any mock drafts. You really want to know the truth?
And I'd rather not. I just put out there what something that I know is true. And why would I make it up? Can somebody explain to me why I would make something up like that? So I can't get it. I don't get it. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Okay. I don't care. I just don't care. 713-780-3776. I do care about a nice patio.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patios. I was out on the patio. I had to blow it off because the neighbor's leaves keep blowing into my patio, which I'm not real pleased about. But got the blower out there, blew it off, dusted off, blew off my patio furniture, got that cleaned up, got the music, got the sound system turned on, the game turned on, and watched Cougs while I was making shout out to Michael from Pete's with the steaks and the crawfish sausage. And that's what I did. I stayed outside, drank a Trinidad sour cocktail made with tequila this time. You know the deal on that one. And had my grilling going on, had my TV going on, all on one patio. Everyone else was inside. It was to myself. You can have the same thing going on. But if you're a more sociable person and you want to have friends and family members and gatherings, you can do that. And, you know, it's a great place to enjoy yourself when Texas Custom Patios is building your patio. They're one of the very best in the state. They've been a multiple-time award winner in the state. And when you see their work, you'll understand why. If you can conceive it, they can build it for you. And many times you won't be able to conceive it. They will. They'll still be able to build it for you. You can get it financed and have it paid over time. And that means that you can get everything you want. Get your refrigerator, your cooktop, your grill all built in for your kitchen with a suite, you know, seating area with bar stools. You can get the whole nine yards, two or three TVs, not a problem. Set up your own sports book basically out there in terms of how you want to watch your events. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk compensation for Deshaun Watson.
All right. So one of the things over the weekend that I saw, which was there's a huge disconnect. I did three radio shows, one ESPN show on Friday evening, one Peter Burns yesterday, both ESPN radio. And both sets of hosts, four hosts total, saw this with Pete Schrager's comments. I saw it with Mina Kimes' text message. Everyone used the phrase, an incredible haul the Texans got. It is very strange because, and I'll give you my own feeling, when I saw this deal.
Except I saw one that compared the Russell Wilson Hall versus the Deshaun Watson Hall.
Two firsts, two seconds.
Yeah, Seattle actually won that one.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that's fair. Seattle also was not dealing with the same things that the Texans were. But yeah, but here's the deal. Only one time in the history of NFL has one team received three first-round picks for a player. That was Herschel Walker. The Herschel Walker trade. Not since then has it ever happened. Not even for the big RG3 trade. That did not happen. Not for Russell Wilson. It has not happened. This is the first time it's ever happened. The Texans also got a third-round pick, and they got a fourth round. They flipped their fifth, basically. They flip-flopped their fifth for a fourth. So they'll have two fourth-round picks from the they get their own and then one from the Cleveland Browns. Nationally, people thought the Texans not stole, but that they got an unbelievable payload of draft picks. What we've been talking about, it was much less than that. It was less than that. I don't know about much less, but it was less. There was talk that it could be as much as three firsts, 2 seconds, maybe in a player, or at least three firsts, a second, and a, or at least three firsts, maybe a third, and multiple starters, two to three players, is what we've gone through. They didn't get any players back in return. No players back. And then they did get the three first. They did get the third, and they flip-flopped. Now, what were your initial thoughts when you saw compensation? I was expecting there to be some start or some players coming back that could be plugged into, like maybe Greg Newsom, a first-round pick from Northwestern, to come back as a potential starter and maybe one other lower-level guy that could compete for a starting job. That's what I expected. If not, I thought there would be maybe two-thirds or 1 second thrown in there as opposed to the rest of the deal. So it was slightly less than I anticipated because I thought it would be – my initial reaction was, first of all, I was just surprised there were no players involved.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that had to do with cap.
I think that was a little disappointing, especially after the Seattle deal.
Yeah. Well, that was, I thought, was a precedent.
Yeah.
I thought the precedent was, oh, okay, you can get a couple of – I mean, Shelby Harris, they had a couple players who will become instant starters. So I immediately thought, okay, this is the precedent. You always look for precedent-setting deals because teams usually look for comps and they work off comps. I think the Russell Wilson deal, you definitely look at it as, okay, there's a comp. Now, but nationally, people thought this was a great deal for the Houston Texans. Locally is where you see people who feel like they're disappointed.
Here's what Nick Caserio had to say about the market for Deshaun.
Yeah, I would say there was a fair amount of teams. What we try to do is bring the teams that had, I would say, a legitimate interest, and that was kind of based on, I would say, maybe the compensation that was presented. I think there was a certain threshold that I kind of had established in order to make it a legitimate discussion, and if we got to that point, then we can gauge a little bit further. So, you know, I would say I don't want to get into the exact number, but, you know, it was probably a few more than, you know, however many teams that everybody was reporting on here at the end.
And
I knew that would
and
be the
compensation that people were reporting was off, too.
I knew that would be the case. Yeah. I knew there was going to be more than four teams. Yeah. There was probably going to be at least six
Well,
teams.
More, but they didn't come up with the compensation, or right. He wouldn't trade with them,
well, this
like
was
Indianapolis.
He wasn't going to trade with Indy. Indy would have given them the best package.
Yeah.
Three firsts was the you couldn't get in the conversation
but
without
he,
three firsts.
But he did go on to say, yeah, people were off on what the compensation that we wanted, or it was the compensation that was being offered.
I think that
because McClain put out early.
Who had anything?
John McClain had early on. They want three firsts.
Oh, the three firsts and 3 seconds.
And players.
No, here's what he's probably referring to. When Jay Glazer said the Texans turned down three firsts and 3 seconds, there was no way they turned that down.
No.
Whenever Jay Glazer said they turned it down, I never even assumed that that was a real thing, even though Jay is pretty tight end. Three firsts and 3 seconds, that's. So I don't think that was ever the case. If that was ever reported, that was true.
Well, here's Nick on the compensation.
The market's the market. So whatever the market says, you can't create the market. So sort of the market is whatever the market is. So you have to take that information and, okay, whatever the market says it is, that's what the market says it is. You can't make up a market. You could have a market in your own mind. Well, it should be X. Well, if it's Y, then. Then it goes back to kind of what we were talking about, you know, a little bit earlier. Just find a resolution. Okay, what's the solution?
I think this is much the same as Carlos Correa. Carlos tried to create a market of $300 million that wasn't there.
Yeah, but I'll disagree here to an extent. I think David Mulgeta helped. I think he made a market in a way. And I think the Browns helped by helped by.
Oh, they upped the market. There's no question.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can manipulate the market. I do think you can. I would disagree with Nick in this sense. I think you can manipulate the market. My guess is if Nick would actually tell you, my guess is that there was a better deal to be had with Atlanta or New Orleans. But let's remember, Deshaun ultimately had the no-trade clause, so.
That hurts, yeah.
You remember that the wording was, Deshaun has decided to waive his no-trade clause to go to Cleveland. At the end, when the money was like that, once Cleveland came in with 230, Deshaun may have blocked Atlanta. My guess is they would block Atlanta or New Orleans, so you have to take kind of what you can take. I'm guessing they would have got a little better deal with either New Orleans or Atlanta.
I will say this, and for all of you out there that think, you know, oh, what you we got taken, blah, blah, blah. I think Nick Caserio did an excellent, excellent job.
Oh, I do too.
When he told teams, no, you can't talk to him until I have a deal with you, at least a working deal on what the compensation for Deshaun is going to be, then we will allow you to talk to him about a trade, about going to your team. Excellent move, as opposed to Bill O'Brien. We'll get the Tunsil deal done when we get it done. That's all that we're not worried about that right now. Oh yeah? Well now Tunsil has you over a barrel because you gave up 2 firsts and 2 seconds for a tackle that you have to now pay $22 million a year to. So stupid. I think Nick Caserio waited. He talked so much about one day at a time.
He handled this as best he could. He really did. He waited. He didn't panic. He didn't trade him when people said, just get anything you can. Just cut bait. Just get anything you can. No, he understood. This is a process. Yep. It takes time. And now the Texans have a 13th pick this year. But let me just point this out. For those of you who are disappointed in compensation packages, let me just tell you what you're going to be looking at in the future. The Texans are going to have 3 consecutive years of 2 first-round picks in the first round. I mean, of 2 first-round picks. 3 consecutive years of that. That's unheard of, to have 3 straight years of that. And if Nick really games the system, he could move number 13 back to number 17 or to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20, for example, and then keep adding draft capital. He has the opportunity now with having 3 additional first-round picks. You could turn that so quickly
into
6 picks.
Well, let's talk about that, though. We were talking about the Rockets and how they, okay, we've got enough picks. Now, as a matter of fact, I had a conversation this weekend with somebody in the Rockets organization, and I said, listen, I know you guys are sick of picks, but you're not giving up the first, second, or third pick this year, right? No. We're going to take the first, second, or third pick this year. But we're not, you know what? We want to get a star in here, and if that takes giving up some of these draft picks that we've got,
basketball
of this draft capital.
About 3 to 5 good players. Yeah,
that's all you need.
If you get Jabari Smith or even Chet Holmgren or somebody like that in here with Shingun and Jalen Green, you're starting to create the core. You don't need guaranteed contracts for back end of the first guy.
Exactly. And how many young players do you want?
Why Eric Gordon, that's why he didn't get dealt.
Yep.
They could get a first rounder, but that doesn't really have value for them.
Now, how many young players like that do you want if you're the Texans?
Well, you want many more. So with the Texans, I don't know if they want 3 first round picks because they all come up at the same time.
Right.
That's tougher. But what I'm saying is you can potentially trade one.
Well, possibly come
up
with
the same.
Here's
what I would tell you.
If you keep the fifth year
option. If you traded your 13th pick backwards, or you could get a deal done early. If you traded your 13th pick, for example, backwards this year, and for that you got a team's first next year, you didn't get anything in return other than next year's first and a second round pick this year, then what you do is you now have 3 first-round picks next year in the Bryce Young year. So if you don't like how it's going with Davis Mills, you now have 3 first-round picks.
Yep.
And you have the ability to move wherever you want to for any quarterback you wanted. And that gives you all the ammunition you need. So if you start playing checkers with this and you think it through, draft capital gives you a chance to build cheaply. It gives you a chance to build quickly. Jimmy Johnson's Herschel Walker trade built the Cowboys into what they became. It really did. You look at the draft picks and what they did. I'll say this: the Cleveland Browns in the draft for what the Texans gave for, hey, please just take Brock off our hands. That second rounder and the draft picks that they gave up
for Deshaun
to get Deshaun Watson, it turned into Nick Chubb and
Denzel Ward. No.
Denzel Ward, yes, it turned into Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb.
Pretty good
players. Pretty they're good. Two of the reasons, I would say they're 2 players that make Cleveland a viable team for Deshaun Watson to consider other than, you know, those other 230 million reasons. But, yeah, if you – I understand that if you miss on your draft picks, it sucks. But how were the Texans ever built? DeAndre Hopkins, first rounder. J.J. Watt, first rounder. Andre Johnson, first rounder. Brian Cushing, first rounder. The Texans built themselves up by first-round picks.
Yep.
That's just – Dwayne Brown, first rounder.
Jabari Smith is definitely a rocket. He just shot 3-for-16 in an elimination game. He continued the legacy. That's ugly.
See? We're not trying to have a legacy.
No, we're not looking. All right, 713-780-3776. Back to the Carlos Correa talk. I'll read some of the tweets that I got this weekend.
Okay, when we come back, I want you to reset what you know about Carlos Correa.
We will do that on the other side. But right now, what I know about Chastain Ford is that they're the best. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck or a pre-owned vehicle, because they've got them on the lot, and 90% of them are certified. And here's the deal. If you're looking for the same thing, okay, what do you want in your pre-owned vehicle? Let's show it to you. How much can you spend? Here's what we've got on the right now on the line that you can drive home. They've got them on the lot. So what are you looking for in that pre-owned vehicle? And if you want to sell your vehicle to them, they will take that as well. But here's the deal as well. I want you to show me what dealership is still giving you rebates. What dealership is still giving you 0% down, nothing down, 0% financing for 0% financing for 60 months and no payments for 90 days. What dealership is doing this? You won't find them. What dealership isn't adding on when you say what you want? They don't try to sell you something, upsell the car. What dealership isn't marking up right now? They're all doing it. Up $5,000 and $10,000. Chastain Ford's not doing it. Chastain Ford is going to give you the best deal that you're going to find in the city of Houston on those Fords or those pre-owned vehicles. So get there. You can find it all at ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online. Or you can get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Saturday, I believe I put it out. Yeah, I think it was Saturday. That the Astros ghosted. Listen, and I was asked by a coach. He said, why did you put that out there? You know, why would you put that there? No one needs to know that. The Astros ghosted. I don't know. Let me ask you that question.
No, I think people deserve to. You have information that I think, here's why you would put that out there. Because this is an ongoing situation with ownership. And look, Jim Crane, I always love the fact that he brought the, number one, he's smart. He's not ever going to be like Jim Haslam, where he's just desperate for everything and does crazy.
No.
He doesn't do crazy stuff behind the scenes. Number two, he's not ever going to be so desperate that he puts his position team in a terrible position. However, I do think that in this particular instance, it's important because this is a deal that we assume the Astros would be in on, number one, because it's a short-term deal. Even if it's a one-year rental, you have Justin Verlander back. That's why it's important. Astros fans need to know that the Astros were not even in on anything, and this concerns me too. They were told talks are going to intensify. Jim Crane is going to re-engage Scott Boras for the – and it turns out, according to information you have, that was not accurate. Bothers me.
Not the last week, anyway. Anyway, the last week of I can't speak for before that. But and this is – okay, so I put out there that the Astros ghosted Carlos Correa this week. James Click said he would get back to them and never did, and Jim Crane did not respond at all to Scott Boras' texts. Now, this is a legitimate question by Eric. He says, did Boras say that or Correa say that? With everything I have been reading, makes it sound like Scott had financial reason to make that story up. He didn't want to share the money that Correa would have gotten with the long-term contract. First of all, the Astros never offered more than $160. That's the last offer. Ken Rosenthal put that out in The Athletic. The last offer was the November offer, $5,160. That's $32 million a year. If that's not enough for Carlos Correa, listen, I agree with Jim Crane. I agree that not to give Carlos Correa a 10-year contract. I agree that long-term contracts don't work. They have not worked in Major League Baseball. When they start to work, then maybe you rethink what you're doing. But if you look at the history of long-term 10-year deals, $300 million, $200 million, $300 million deals, they haven't worked in Major League Baseball. So that's the way Jim Crane wants to go about it. I'm all for it. I am not against that. Jim Crane ghosting Carlos Correa this week was bad in that you didn't find out what the Minnesota Twins were offering, because Carlos didn't even know what the Minnesota Twins were offering up until the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the, Scott Boras said, Minnesota, there's a place that'll give you what you want, $35 million a year, be the highest paid per year guy in the league. That's Minnesota Twins.
That's your track in.
Yes, that's the way to make you the highest paid.
Carlos,
now, it's not Carlos the would... years, but it is. And they've got the opt-outs. And it's legitimate that he would ask, is that the story that he's given him? As I understand it, and this is, as I understand it, Scott Boras said, look, here's my tweet to Jim Click. He said, I'll get back to you. And text, look, there's text. Nothing. Text, not here's to, my yeah. my text. To Jim Click.
Showing Carlos.
And then here's my text to Jim Crane. Crickets. So he got nothing back in response.
Jake Kaplan had the same thing. Ken Rosenthal, they all have the same thing. They've been told the same thing. The Astros have not denied it.
No.
That they did not respond. They were out. They were never in. And this is what's disappointing. We're sitting here talking about this, and but if it's a 1 or 2 year deal, that's the Astros' perfect opportunity.
It was.
And yet they had the opportunity, and they still weren't in. Like, this is what bothers me. Don't tell everyone you're re-engaging talks when you're not. And don't, you know what? And this is your chance to have 1 year for Carlos. Like, what's the downside? What's the downside of 1 year thing? You extend the happy feelings with your fan base. The only downside is Jeremy Pena slowed in his progress. That's the only downside. Unless you're saying, well, that average per year is going to be used against us by other players. But listen, it's a one-year deal. You could say, listen, we'll give you this deal, a one-year deal too, but we don't do one-year deals. So I think that with Justin Verlander coming back, you obviously want to extend the opportunity to win. Carlos Correa would have given you an opportunity. You had a one-year deal on the table that you could have taken, basically, the opt-out. It doesn't make sense that you couldn't have given the same deal that the I can't come up with an idea of why they wouldn't do that or be in that ballpark, because you might have been able to say, look, we'll do it at 33. We won't do 35. You could have just nickel and dimed, and Carlos and Daniela might have been willing to say, look, we'll stay in Houston. We love Houston. It's not worth the extra $2 million to uproot everything and move to Minnesota.
But he didn't want a five-year deal. The thing about it is that Carlos can get back to the market. It's not about – listen, people say, I'm confused. Didn't they offer $6,150? That's $32 million a year. I mean, they offered $5,160, which is $32 million a year. What's the matter with that? Because it's a five-year deal. By the time Carlos gets back to free agency, he's going to be 32 years old, and you're not signing a big deal at 32 years old. You're just not. More than likely, you're not. I don't know. Maybe you're not. Because there have been some big – Freddie Freeman just got $162 million at 32. Look at what it's different now, because Chris Bryant just signed a huge deal with Colorado at 30 years old. So you actually can make that kind of money, but it's not what they were looking for. It's not what Boras or Correa was looking for. And Scott says this, I really don't think Boras was going to let Correa come back to Houston. I have no reason to doubt the report, John, and his reporting, I'm sure he was told that, but his narrative makes it look like the Astros are the bad guy and not Correa. The Astros, I will say this about the Astros. Again, if it's their philosophy, it's their philosophy, and that's fine. Then just and stay with your philosophy.
Yeah.
It's the way the Astros do it, though. I've heard about the way that they have gotten rid of coaches, the way that they have gotten rid of front office people. The way that they just, you're done as a player, you're done as a player.
Didn't concern anybody that Strom retires and then unretires in a month? Or 2 weeks? That didn't bother anyone that all of a sudden Strom found his love for baseball again in 2 weeks?
No.
Wasn't a concern at all?
It wasn't, listen, yeah. I mean, well, and you know what? If you want to move on, listen, the guys that were underneath Stromy are here. They're here. Mm-hmm. You want to move on from Stromy? That's fine. It's the way that they went about it. It's the way that they want it with
Reed
went
Ryan?
About it. It's the way that they went about it.
The Reed Ryan one didn't look good.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. You're not saying anything,
but
I'm just saying
they went about
there's multiple instances starting to pile up that concern
Jim Crane is a businessman. This is the way Jim Crane does business.
Yes.
Jim Crane's employees at his global company, Crane Industries, the way that he does business is the way that he does business, and he's brought that to the Houston Astros. It may be different in other organizations. That's the way it is here.
He's not diabolic or anything. I think he's trying to win. I think he wants to win, but he also wants to run it as a business. So the problem with baseball is some teams are, and it's rare to see teams who want to win and run it as a business, because a lot of times you want to win and you're willing to just throw out whatever money, like the Yankees. And they also have they have an unlimited war chest. Then you have teams who would like to win, but they're going to run it as a business and they're going to make money off of it. And those are the teams that don't spend with the shared revenue. With the Astros, you have a team that's somewhere in the middle. You can't complain that they don't spend money. They do. But they're not willing to do what is necessary relative to the standards of the league as it stands right now to hang on to certain high-level players. The one that made no sense is Charlie Morton. Letting him walk when they did for a three-year deal, that is just, to me, even then it seemed, but you didn't challenge it because it was just coming off the World Series, but just thought, man, 3 years doesn't seem that crazy. Letting Charlie walk. Keuchel, I understood letting him walk. Morton didn't make any sense to let him walk. Coming off of what he just showed you, literally in the last game he ever played for the Astros, you would think that you would re-up. Did he play one more year with the Astros? Did Charlie play 2018 also?
Yeah, he was here 18. He went 19.
Yeah, that's right. So the 17 year, 18 he wasn't as great, but he didn't play in 19. Letting Charlie walk instead of signing him to a 3-year deal, that was bizarre to me. George Springer, you understand, because it would free up money for Carlos. And then I understand that Carlos got really, really expensive. But once you find it, okay, we're not going to do what everyone else is doing, which is going to pay a long-term deal, even though that never materialized. And maybe the Astros could have been in for an 8-year deal, a 7-year deal, maybe. Maybe 7 at 30, 34?
We don't know. But the Astros wouldn't talk to him. So listen,
this doesn't make sense.
I'm getting are you implying Carlos was open to changing his terms? I seriously doubt that. Otherwise, once the Astros gave their final offer without opt-outs, there's no difference between final offer and ghosting. You're making it sound scandalous. I'm not making it sound scandalous. The Astros didn't know what the Minnesota Twins offered. Would the Astros have done a 3-105 deal?
You're saying they could have known
if they had talked to Scott Boras
and then just said, "Listen, we're not doing it."
They didn't say anything,
and then it's over.
They never answered.
Let us talk to. Let me just call Carlos. Carlos, listen, we can't do it. Here's the reason why. You're always going to be special to us. It could have just been just like that, just real professional.
And some people are talking about the disrespect. I don't know that Jim Crane has to respect Carlos Correa.
I don't think you want to disrespect.
Well,
I
mean, Carlos gave you his all here. I mean, he helped you win a title. He's helped you get back five times, 5 ALCSs, 3 World Series. Carlos has been a big part of it. It would have been nice if it was more amicable. Yes. It would have been nice if they had talked to him. Yes. Because in that 11th hour, when he was going, when all this was going on, they really did want to, they really wanted to be here in Houston. They wanted to be here in Houston. And I don't know if they would have done this same deal. Probably, yes. I would imagine they would have done the same Minnesota deal with the Houston Astros.
I just don't think
so. And somebody says,
why would you not be in on it if you think that it's out there? Wouldn't you have picked up the phone and found out if there was something going on? You knew that it was getting close to nut cutting time for Carlos. He's got to get into a camp somewhere.
Well, no. I'm saying Carlos wanted to be here.
Why would the Astros not have been calling to say, hey, what's out there?
They were done with them. They were done with them.
I don't know. Why are you fundamentally against a 1-year deal?
Right. Somebody said this is worse. Having an opt-out is worse for you than having signing a long-term contract. Why? If he opts out, you got him for one more year. He left anyway, so you get him for another year and he opts out. So then opt out. Why is that terrible to have an opt out after a year?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get that. It's like a franchise tag. I got you for another year tied up. Okay. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Beat it. If you want to leave, leave then. But I got you for another year while this window is open. All right, it's 845 ESPN 97.5. and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this? You're more than welcome to get in.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
And it's picked up. And that's it. And Houston wins it, going wire to wire. Leading by as many as 18 and winning it 82-68.
Houston, they're not a five seed. I'm sorry. I know they're not a power from a power five, but this is not a five seed.
The Houston Cougars are going to the Sweet 16.
Courtesy TNT and CBS, the Cougs with a huge weekend. Let's talk about the tournament. Let's talk about what we saw this weekend. Arizona struggled with TCU now.
They did. Went to overtime before. And it was tight in overtime, too. So Arizona is who Houston has next, and as was mentioned previously, is a bunch of young guys for Arizona. So they're a good young team, but they're also a young team. And what we saw with Houston, man, the way Shedd played in the second half when it got tight, Melendez is a good player over there for Illinois, but Houston strangled. Did you see the final numbers on this game? So Illinois shot in the 30s, in the 34% range, I believe, for the game. For three, they shot in the 20s. And then you look at their turnovers, they were high turnover numbers. So Houston beat them on the boards, beat them on the offensive board. They did what Houston does. Houston beats your brains out on the boards. They get a ton of offensive boards. They averaged 12 per game. They had 8 in the first half. They just kept getting second shots. That's what they do. But they kept Kofi from getting off, the big man from Illinois.
Well, because they doubled him. Carlton's on him, and Fabian comes over.
He just said, we're not letting him do it. But the thing is, Houston, and this is what's impressive to me. I was texting a buddy about this. The fact that we live in a generation where you do have maybe a little bit more enabled players, guys who are a little tougher to deal with. Any coach will tell you that who has to deal with younger players. There's some divas out there, more than there used to be. It's harder to deal with. You would never know it by watching University of Houston. I don't know what happens behind the scenes. I know this much. They play their ass off for Kelvin Sampson. They rotate. They close out. They get help side defense. They are on the ball defense. They play the full shot clock. They hit offensive boards. They hit defensive boards. Like, everything that you could put this, it looks like you're watching a team. It looks like you're watching a basketball team from the 80s or 90s to this day with the grinded out mentality. He gets them to play the same way that every Kelvin Sampson team has played. And that's amazing to me, is that you have guys who do that. Then Shedd came in and had, I didn't come in, but Shedd ended up hitting some big threes, getting some big buckets that kept Illinois from really getting over the top. And then Houston
Edwards, too. You got to give Edwards.
Both of them. And those are the two guys.
And Moore, Tajay Moore, was spectacular.
So, and they talked
so
a little bit about
Fabian White, despite his field goal percentage. What about the play where he's running out of bounds?
Tips it ahead for the dunk or lay-in. Yeah. That was like the end of the game.
That was the official end of the game. But that was a typical Coug play. On a defensive rebound, everybody's tipping it all over the place, and they get, and he gets it at half court and tips it over. Just fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, you would think it just doesn't benefit Houston. Like, you can't see Houston winning a championship because they're two best players out. Well, Sasser, I guess there's an article that Sasser hasn't ruled out coming back in the postseason, but it's, when would you come back? You're going to be back in the next 3 days?
Yeah.
2 days?
Yeah.
And then how much can you play him? So I don't think Sasser comes back. And even with that, you say, okay, Houston's just got two. There's just too many players out. They strangled the life out of a pretty decent Illinois team. Now, if you beat Arizona, who is a legitimate national title contender, what do you say then? What do you say then? I mean, Duke, look at every single team. Duke had real struggles against Michigan State, and it got hot at the very end of the game. Gonzaga has struggled in two different games and could have been beaten yesterday in their game against Memphis, who Houston throttled Memphis last time they played them. go to every top team. Kentucky, out. You have Kansas still in. Okay, great. Auburn, out.
The two really seeds got destroyed.
You really think Duke is a scary team right now? So what I'm trying to tell you is, I understand it, that I'm sitting here looking at it logically.
2 and 3.
Like, how can Houston make a legitimate run at a at a Final Four, or definitely a national championship, when two of your best players are out? But when you look at the teams who are seeded ahead of them, Houston was misseeded. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
Houston should have been a 3 seed. Realistically, they should have been a 3 seed.
Well, you heard Reggie Miller saying it. This ain't no 5 seed.
And I was that's the exact same thing I was thinking before. Like, I guess one of these two teams was misseeded, and it was probably Houston. And when you look at how Houston played, and then probably 2 minutes after that, Reggie makes his comment. Because 5 seeds, does that look like a team that can't compete against a 2 seed? No, and certainly a 5 seed can compete against a 2 seed on any given tournament game. But what I'm telling you is, they were seeded as a team that didn't have two of their top players. That's how they were seeded. Do they play like that? No, because they have an actual next man up mentality, and their game doesn't specifically rely on one or two players. They play a team style of offense and defense, so they're not hurt as much by when their best player's out. Houston is more likely to overcome it. Yeah. Now, at some point, you get overwhelmed by talent by another team. At some point. But right now, Houston is built to where they can fade it, because nothing is built around a single player or two players. That's not how they're built.
I'll tell you this. I'm telling you, who was impressive this weekend? How about North Carolina? How about Purdue? Holy crap.
Man, that 20-0 run.
Man,
yesterday.
I want to tell you something. Between Ivy and Williams and Eddie and Hunter, I don't think this team can win it all.
Did you see
Purdue?
Yeah,
Purdue can win it all.
Did you see how much? First of all, they get to the free throw line a ton. Ivy gets to the free throw line a ton. Did you see the
33 of 46?
Did you see the free throw disparity between those two teams?
46-12.
I am pissed off if I'm Texas. It should never be that bad. I'd be really, really pissed off. I got screamed at by my family yesterday for being that I was a, what is that? Is that your, oh, I didn't know if Tyler was playing something yesterday.
There's a lot of yelling going back at your house.
They thought I was the Jinx, because every time I came into the room, I'd do like this. I'd do like a shot, and a basket would go on for Purdue, or there would be free throws. They were so convinced. You heard every child yell at me, other than Mason, who kind of secretly liked it. You heard Mati screaming, Alec yelling at me at one point, and mostly you just heard Snacks doing his screaming at Rainey and me. He thought Rainey was terrible defensively. He ruined the whole game, and he was mad at me for jinxing, because they were positive that every time I came in, something bad would happen from Texas, that I was a jinx. So I recorded it. That was like the third time it happened. I decided I'm going to record this so John can hear them yelling at me and screaming at me. They were so pissed that I was the jinx.
Well, I thought you were their dad.
I am their dad and jinx.
Okay. I'm just wondering. 858 ESPN 97.5. Sounds like you have a loud house.
Oh.
A loud house.
Yes. Why do you think we didn't bring him to your crawfish boil? Not one kid goes. My wife says, should we bring Alec? Now he's the quiet one. I'm like, no, just nobody gets
to go. Nobody. Nobody gets to go. No, they don't deserve it. That could have been their big outing at the end of spring break, but you ruined it. Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff, and time to talk about the greatness that is Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite, and coming and renovating. That's what Jeff Aronoff does. Or building. I mean, I talked to him, and he said, yeah, I'm doing this hotel. They're constructing this hotel, and I'm putting all the countertops or all the vanities in. And I'm like, wow, it sounds like a big job. Well, that's all Jeff Aronoff does is big jobs. What do you need done? Do you need an entire outdoor kitchen renovated or just done, period? You don't have one? Well, guess what? Get one. Jeff Aronoff could do it with stone and marble and granite and countertop. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. With ovens and with walks and anything. I mean, it's unbelievable what you can do with your outdoor kitchen and patio now. And if you're building a pool and you need the tile put in, if you're redoing your bathrooms, if you're redoing your kitchen, all the countertops and everything else, Jeff Aronoff does it every single day. And he will do it for you at a price. Tell him you want 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. We've been doing this forever, and Jeff Aronoff is going to continue to do that for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.